Mark 4:26, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil. And he goeth to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grow. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crop of it by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is natural law. This is just the way natural law works. You plant your field, you throw out your seed. Been going on for a long time, farmers out there farming. But Jesus said here, how this happens, he himself does not know. He himself does not know. And then he takes you through the process. This is Jesus teaching. He takes you through the process. The soil produces crop by itself. The man just sowed the seed, right? The ground produces a crop by itself. Seeds will remain seeds until they're sown in the ground. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Matthew 12:57. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, the reason I kind of just threw all these out here all at once with you, to you, is because there is such a powerful word here about words. And if I can try to help you make sense of it, I will. Because this is a revelation only you can get from God. You can get only this from God. Look at the next verse here. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, revelation knowledge only comes out of heaven. Revelation knowledge does not come out of a textbook. Revelation knowledge comes to a human heart, a human spirit, by God, out of heaven. Because it's words out of heaven, revelation words. So he told Peter, he said, you didn't get this from man, this came from God. And he said unto thee, thou art Peter. And his name Peter meant a little stone. You're Peter, but upon this rock, this revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you ever get a revelation of how powerful your words are, God then can trust you with keys to the kingdom. But until you really have confidence in what you say as always happening, because you've learned how to speak the right words, you can be trusted with keys. Keys represent authority. Keys represent entrance ways, ability. So he is trying to get across a picture. I'm trying to get across a picture this morning. I want to share a picture with you. I want to help you understand how powerful your words are in your individual life. In my individual life, I know that I have cursed myself with my own words. I've brought a lot of problems on myself with my own believing. Because you will believe what you say. I'll guarantee it. And your spirit man is listening. Your spirit man is listening. Your spirit man will automatically be programmed to make that come to pass. You're either blessing your life or you're cursing your life with your words. So God is saying, learn how to speak the right words. Learn His sayings. Build your house on His sayings. You see, I will liken to him a man which built his house, a wise man which built his house upon a rock. See, foolish people can't get the word of God. Foolish, simple people don't have any patience to wait on anything. You got to be a patient man to sow seed in a ground and know that a harvest is coming. A harvest doesn't happen overnight. You're going to have a little wisdom about yourself to know to plant the crop and wait on it. You may not understand why it happens or how it happens, but you know it happens. You know that eventually you're going to have a harvest. Now, the problem with most believers is they're foolish about what they say with their mouth. They don't realize how powerful their words are and how much of a harvest. They've sown some seed that's going to reap some harvest. They're going to have some harvest coming. Harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Just remember that. Because your words are like seeds that you sow every day. Every day we speak words. What if Jesus was to appear today? Let's just think about this. What if Jesus appeared right now in this room and walked to every single person and said these words, said, from this day forward, every single word you speak will come to pass. Every single word you say will come to pass. Every single, and what Jesus has really already said that. But because it doesn't happen immediately, we don't pay attention to it. We just live frivolously with our tongues and not recognize how powerful our words are. God created you to be like Himself. Now let me take you back to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter, I've written it down, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Do you notice I highlighted the word, or didn't highlight the word, but I enlarged the word created. In the beginning, God created. See, God is called the Creator because He creates. He creates. He's a creator. Man didn't create anything. Oh, you might say man created an automobile or man created a light bulb. No, he didn't create it. He used what was already here and formed it and put it into a functioning form, but he didn't create it. God is the creator, and he's the only one that creates. But how does God create? Before I move on anymore, I want you to look down at Genesis 1:26, down near the lower part of the page. Genesis 1:26, and God said, here's God talking again, make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, God said. God has given you and I the ability to have dominion because he made us in his image, in his likeness. Dominion is a very powerful thing. And so when you start looking back at what Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, Peter, this didn't come out of from man. You got this revelation from heaven. This is a heaven revelation. And this is the kind of, this is the absolutely the beginning. This is what I'm building my church on. See, the church didn't exist when Jesus said those words. There was no church. There wasn't a church. No church on planet Earth at this point. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. First reference we have of him planning a church. Do you think they understood what a church was? They didn't understand church, the concept of church. We understand that church is not a church building. It's people. He's got a body that's going to be his church. But he's got to get his body in unity with himself. Because he's the head. Where do you talk out of? You talk out of your head, don't you? Don't you talk? Where's your mouth located? It's in your head, isn't it? He needs to get his body in line with his head, who's in heaven. We are the body of Christ. I'm part of his body. How it grieves the Lord and the Holy Spirit when we start talking death, unbelief, fear, worry starts coming out of our mouth, negative words. It is so contrary to the kingdom. It's not kingdom language. He's trying to get his church to talk like him, in his image, in his likeness, because God is a spirit. Now, let me just share something real quickly here. Just give you a thought. God is a spirit. I want y'all to meditate on this when you go home and leave here. God is a spirit. God was in this room, and I believe he is. Badly he wanted to talk to you. No matter how badly he wanted to communicate something over to you, how would he do it if you didn't have some words for him to listen, you to understand? How could he get across to you his thoughts if he could not say something that you could understand on your end of the receiving end, something called words that can be connected to by God? If you didn't have words didn't exist, communication words are words. Understand words. How could he get across a message to you? How could he communicate with you and I if we didn't hear words? We have to hear words from God. We have to hear something called words. Now, God doesn't just speak any old thing, because everything God says happens. He's very, very, very careful with his words. He showed up and the world was without form and without void, and darkness was everywhere. There was no light. What's the first thing God Creator did when he saw the dark? He saw the dark and he said something. You and I have the ability that when we walk into a dark place, I'm talking spiritually dark, to say, let there be light. Let there be light. Because you're created in his likeness, in his image, and he gave man an assignment to have dominion. See, men still want dominion. The problem is they want dominion outside of the kingdom of God. They want dominion with the little god, Satan. And his language is totally perverted. He's taken everything that he could that was good and that was God's and perverted it. Everything about the devil's bad. He's a liar. Jesus called him a liar from the beginning. He perverts. He deceives. If we'll just fall out of agreement with what he says and come into agreement with what God says and really believe it, really believe it. Words are so powerful. Look at Matthew 12:37. I just read this earlier. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Jesus said that. Your words either put you over or hold you in bondage. Your words either justify you before God or they condemn you before God. If you say, I'm never going to amount to anything, then you won't ever amount to anything. God can't help you there. I'll never have anything. If you say that and you really believe that, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You believe that because you had to believe it or you wouldn't have said it. We have a lot of wrong thinking and a lot of wrong talking. And we want God to bless us. He can never bless you beyond what you believe and what you're confessing. He can't. He wants to. But you have got to cooperate with God's words. Your words are very powerful. What comes out of your belly, out of your spirit? Words. You think you're talking those words out of your head? You're not. You're not. Because you normally just don't rattle off something you don't really believe. We've got to reprogram our heart and let our heart go to work for us. Your spirit man will cause things to happen for you. Your spirit will see that that comes to pass. I said in my heart, I'm going to get this done. And my spirit man started helping me. My spirit man began energizing me. It affected my flesh. It made my feet move. It made me run up and down these stairs. It motivated me. See, that's my core being. Your spirit is your dynamo. Your spirit man is where your energy comes from. Your spirit man is what's connected to God. You can say something in your heart and you really believe it and you really mean it. You can make it. It'll happen. Especially if you trust God to help you. You see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really believe that. I have no problem. I have no doubt. Not one speck of doubt in that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't tell me I can't do something. Don't even think about telling me I can't do something. Because I believe I can. Now, if I believe I can do something, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. Your flesh will be affected by what you believe in your heart. It is a powerful thing to really believe God. Oh, it's so powerful. Look at this Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You're going to build a house. You got to frame it first, don't you? God knew that when he created the earth, the heavens and the earth, that he had to frame it with his words. Words are your foundation. Words are what, if you're a builder and you're always tearing down what you're building with your words, you've got to frame your life. You've got to frame your life with the word of God. We come along and we try to confess God's word. We try to believe God. We try to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. We try, but until it becomes your words. See, his word has to become your word. His word has to be so real to you that it becomes now your word. You're in agreement with him completely. Paul said, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in weakness is my strength made perfect. My grace is sufficient for thee. Then he also made the statement where he said, I'm putting in first person because I know this in my heart. His grace abounds toward me that I always have all sufficiency in all things. Can you imagine just walking around every day knowing that for sure? How did I get to know that for sure? By saying it. I started listening to myself believe it and say it. See, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want to get the word of God in your spirit, man? Then you better start saying it. And fall out of agreement with the devil. And start speaking that I can't do anything and I can't ever have anything. And start saying, my God causes all grace to abound toward me so I can do all things. I have all sufficiency in all things. All is a big word. So I have all sufficiency in all things. When you're faced with a trial or a problem that looks impossible, you speak from your spirit man, I can do that. Because he gives me grace. He'll give me grace to get over it, around it, or under it, but I'm going there where I need to go. You are not stopping me. Jesus said that upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell, that's a pretty powerful thing there. Devil's pretty powerful devil. I was telling someone the other day, I said, you will not fight the devil. You don't fight the devil. Don't even try to fight the devil. So we got to get this by revelation. I can't teach this. I can't teach this as a natural person. This has got to be something the Holy Spirit has to put inside of you and me as people, because we're just people. But you're a spirit being, and when you begin to operate out of your human spirit the way Jesus intended the church to operate, we will defeat the devil 100% of the time, because Jesus defeated the devil 100% at one time. See, one time, 2,000 years ago, Jesus totally defeated Satan. Our victory over Satan rests totally upon what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. No matter how much we cry and how much we speak, no matter how much we rebuke the devil, we have got to lean upon the fact that Jesus defeated Satan once and for all 2,000 years ago. The devil is counting on you and I never finding that out. He's counting on you to never really believe your authority. He's counting on you and I to not know how to use our authority. Satan is an evil genius. He knows how to use your own words against you. If he can't get you to turn your back on Jesus and run back to the world, he will help you defeat your own life and put a snare in your life with your own mouth. Because he knows how powerful your words are as seeds in your heart. You and I hear words or things that are said. When someone's talking, like when I'm talking to you, you hear what I'm saying from your outside ear, your outer ear. But if you talk, you hear it two ways. You hear it with the outer ear and the inner ear. So you're getting those words twice. You're hearing it twice. And if you really want to get it into your heart, you've got to start saying these words yourself. Because if the church just sits and listens to words or hears preacher preaching words and never gets involved in the words, it never gets in their heart. Not really. You've got to speak this word. It's the great confession. The Bible's called the great confession. The Christian life is called the great confession. He is the author and finisher of your faith. And so your words have got to line up with Jesus' word, who is the word. Jesus was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. So when we speak the word of God, we are releasing our faith, and we're releasing it to produce. That's going to happen. Just like the farmer. He sowed the seeds. He doesn't know how that works, but there's coming a harvest. You can speak to your mountain. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in his heart what he saith. See, that's the key. That's the key to the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom's in you. It's in your spirit. Jesus lives in your spirit. And you can override with your mind. See, we've been so programmed to negative words. All our lives we've spoken negative things. We think from negative terms. We think naturally, and all our lives we've spoken out of our negativity. And we've spoken words that have held us in bondage. And God has given us an opportunity now to be put over. Whatever is holding you back, whatever is hindering you, whatever hang up you have, whatever hang up you inherited from your family, whatever baggage you're carrying around, whatever past is hurting you, whatever past is troubling you, whatever is going on in your life, whatever issue there is, whatever emotional scar you're carrying, whatever kind of hang up you got, or an addiction, or whatever, you can get completely free by the word of God. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide asunder between your soul, your stinky thinking, and your spirit. See, your spirit is alive unto God, and that's where the kingdom of heaven lives. So the kingdom of heaven is trying, God is trying his best to get his kingdom built in you, in your spirit. And you keep tearing it down with your mouth. You've got to start speaking God's words and create like he called you to create. Have dominion with your words. We have dominion concerning words. That's where we have dominion. That's where Jesus said, I'm going to build my rock of this, my church, on this kind of revelation of who I am. See, I started to say a minute ago, I said, God's a spirit. Without words, you would have never known God. Without words, you wouldn't. God conveyed himself to you through his words. If God did not bring Jesus into this planet, if Jesus had not come as a man and started speaking words, what's the first thing Jesus said when that he was anointed of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus showed up as a baby, he didn't heal anybody. He didn't do any preaching. He didn't lay hands on a soul until he was anointed the Holy Ghost. And the very first words Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. And he spoke it with words, what God had said about him. To break every yoke. Set the captive free. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He proclaimed what God said about him through revelation. And he believed it. See, Jesus just went around being himself, the Word. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be imitators of God as dear children. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But in another place, it's no man has ever seen God at any time. Because God's a spirit. But when you look at Jesus and look at what Jesus said and what Jesus did. See, Jesus believed everything he said and therefore he acted like it was true. And God is just trying to get all of us, his body, to do the same thing. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But if you don't believe me, just believe the works. Look at the miracles. Look at the healings. Look at the things that are happening. He's doing the work. The Father's doing the work. How is he doing the works? Because Jesus said. Jesus knew the power of words. Jesus knew the power of the spoken word. From when you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. What do you want to unto happen? What's the unto? You're at point A, you want point B, you got to say some words to get the unto going on. You could say all day what you got and you'll stay right where you are. But if you got a point B to go to, or you got a point C to go to, and you know you're going to take a little time to get there, you better start speaking some words to get you there. Are you all getting anything? Amen. You have to believe you have to believe God's word. You have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You got to confess it with your mouth. I used to read the Bible out loud. When I had the Bell's palsy, the Holy Spirit led me to read the book of Hebrews 3 times and twice out loud, word for word. I got to hear myself hear it with my inner ear and my outer ear. I wrote it down. You see, it's the most crucial thing that we get this word in our heart and really believe it from here. Because for years, I just spoke it because it was the word, and I was a new baby and I was learning these words, no different than a baby learning jabber. Knows exactly what he's saying, but nobody understood the kid. We have to learn how to mature in the things of God. Mature in the things of God. The seed will do the job. You sow the word, you sow the seed of the word of God, and it will do the job. There's so many promises. I think there's like 6,000 promises in the word of God. If we will believe it, because we've been given great and precious promises that by these we could be a partaker of the divine nature of God. God has created in you and I the ability to be as much like him as he could possibly make us in his likeness and in his image. You be a partaker of a divine nature of God, the Spirit. Let's look at that verse. That is an awesome thing to have a revelation of the divine nature. Divine nature, divinity. I mean, divine nature of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Is everybody there? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We've been given something. And it's so huge. Every promise of God is a yes and amen to the glory of God the Father, Jesus said. Every promise. Well, Paul wrote that. Every promise is yes and amen to the glory of God. Every promise is your promise. If God made you a promise, do you reckon he'd just change his mind and decide to break it? You can believe his promises. You can believe his promises. If he said, anyone that would come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. How come more people ain't running to Jesus? They don't believe that. They don't believe that. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus is the Lord. He knows how to give you rest beyond any pill, any drug, anything. I just learned how to get rest. I learned how to crawl up in his lap. I learned to let him put his arms around me. I learned to let him protect me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. And no tongue that rises up against me in judgment. Mm-mm. I condemn those tongues. He said, that's my inheritance. See, that's a promise. I believe it. But I had to believe it by my speaking it and doing it. You know, it's a way of life. Literally, the kingdom of heaven is a way of life. Everything good comes out of heaven, and everything bad comes from hell. Everything good comes from God. His word is the truth. So words, your words, let me say something I think is just really important. We are so conditioned to be able to be free. We're free to say any old thing we want, aren't we? I can say anything I want to say. But when you ever get a revelation how powerful your words are, you won't say just any old thing anymore. You won't. You won't talk about nobody no more. You won't criticize anybody no more. You will be very careful. Because by your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. That's the word. That's the truth. So if you ever get that word in your spirit and you begin to speak that part, make that part of you, integrate it into your being. It's reality to you. It's not like, well, we can take that off the shelf when we want to once in a while. No, it's literally a part of you. And what about the ones that the scripture that says, the word that says, see, God's a spirit. He had to become Jesus to get the word to the human race. He had to have Jesus to speak words to us. Or we would have never known God. We would have known him through the Abrahamic covenant, through Abraham. But those people only knew God as judge. They never knew God as Father. Jesus brought the Father to human beings through the new birth. Now you can be born of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, revelations coming to the body right now. Amen. Huge revelations are coming to people who are open to it. Open your heart. Say, God, I don't get it all, but I know it's coming. And I want to be an open container. If I used to have a cistern. I've had more than one place where I lived where there was a cistern. And you look forward to the day rain came, didn't you? It's all your water source is the cistern. You couldn't wait till it rained. Revelation's raining on the body right now. It's just time to get the cistern cleaned out and open up, put your barrel out there and catch it. Because the revelation is real. Let's look at the negative side of words. Let's just look at what we're used to. Let's just think about what we're all used to. We're all used to living by our emotions and saying what we feel. Always about what's happening at the moment, what we have. We know all about how to say what we have, right? We all know about what's experiencing going on in our world right now. And you will agree with what you're experiencing, right, with your words. You will hook up. The devil is bringing a bad thought. The devil's bringing a bad situation. You know what I'm talking about. And next thing you know, you're agreeing with it all. Look at Hebrews 11 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We've all got things we're hoping for. But if we just keep talking about what we've got and how bad it is, and we just keep speaking, and we don't imitate our God or imitate our Creator. See, when God made man, he did not expect man not to act like him. He didn't expect man not to talk like him. God is the creator, and his words create. And he gave us his words so we could create. Though I'm not God, and I can't create, but his words through my lips can produce and create things because I come into agreement with him. If God was here in the flesh, Jesus isn't here anymore, is he? Did you all notice that after Jesus was raised from the dead, before he was ascended, he never healed anybody? He was here like for like 40 days or so. He never healed a person. Plenty of sick people, but he was back from the dead because he delegated all the authority to his church, the body. We have been given the mind of Christ. If you've got the mind of Christ, this is talking about the mind of Christ here. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, hope is always in the future. But your faith creates your faith in God's word. Faith is a force of the human spirit. Your faith in God's words, not your words, God's words. You took God's words in your mouth and you put God's words in your spirit. You build, let it be built in there. See, the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. See, God wants you to know that you've been given an opportunity to be a partaker of his divine nature. And his words are quick and powerful. What's that word quick mean? Quick means to bring life. See, your spirit man was designed from the very beginning, before the fall, before spiritual death came into the human race. Your spirit man was created in the image and likeness of God with the ability to create. Using God's words, coming into agreement with God, having dominion. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick, we just think, what's that word? We just skim over it. We read it, the word of God is quick. Mm-hmm. Quickening power. Mm-hmm. It brings life. When God saw the dark, God saw the dark. What did he do? But he said words. He said, let there be light. And light was. That's how powerful God is. There was no light and he saw dark. And he said, well, we got to fix this. We got to fix this problem. And he said, with his words, we see a problem. What do? Oh, there's a problem. Oh, there's a trouble. Oh, there's this, and we got on the phone and we start telling everybody all about it. Yeah. We enforce it. We'll support it. We'll just make sure everybody knows. Amen. We'll brag on the devil. We brag on what he's doing, how bad and sad it is, and how mean this one was, and how bad that one was. Mm-hmm. God didn't do that. He didn't go on and on about how dark it was. He said, let there be light, and light was. So we can just get that simple concept and understanding that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is an awesome revelation. Awesome revelation. Word of God framed the whole universe. How much more will it frame your little world? Let your world be framed with the word of God. You got born into the kingdom. You had to believe in your heart, faith. It's by faith are you saved through grace, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God gives every man a measure of faith. Romans 12, chapter verse 3. God give you a measure of faith. And you need to do something with it. You develop your faith in these things. You can become a mature believer. And the more you know this, the more powerful your words become. So when you know how powerful his words are, then it takes the word of God. This word takes on a whole new dimension of revelation of power. You look at it differently, you handle it differently, and you think, wow, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You need to be careful what you say, because that's the word of God. The word of God just said that. By thy words thou shalt be justified. Jesus is the word made flesh. Jesus said those words. So those words are containers that convey a message from God. basically. That's the bottom line. You just got a word from God. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. It's on the next page. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, for what? What's the they? The words. The words are life unto those that find them. That's revelation right there. That's revelation. Do you understand how powerful the words are? You just found them. If you understand that God is his word is God, and you can't separate them, the power of God is the power of God. And his words are his power. That's how he speaks to humanity, through Jesus becoming the word. We would have never known God if it hadn't been for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. But he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, Matthew 28. He said, there go you therefore. He delegated his authority, his dominion, his power of words to the church. Upon this rock I'm going to build my church. Revelation knowledge. Seek God for revelation about this. These are things that only come from God. It's walking out of the Spirit. Jesus said, he said in John 6, 63, I think it is, words that I speak into you, the flesh profits nothing. Words I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. In Romans 8, it talks about how that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. This is the rock. You understand, upon this rock, the revelation of who Jesus is lives in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you and I. Jesus can only be the rock in your life to the degree you believe what he has said about you, about his kingdom, about angels, about every problem, the Holy Spirit. Is all the things Jesus has ever shared with you, he shares with you through his Spirit, because the Spirit was sent to teach you all things. Whatsoever things he said to you. Your life as an individual walk with God, your walk with God is totally in your hands. How much revelation you have is in your hands. How much revelation I have is in my hands. And the key is, you want more revelation, walk in the revelation you have. Walk in what you've already been given by God. Seek him for more. Seek him for more. And I'll tell you what he'll say. You ain't walking in what I gave you. Start talking like I told you to talk. Start believing what I told you to believe. I gave you my word. Start acting like it's true. And then I'll give you more for you to act on. And frame your life with his words. Believe his words from your heart. Believe it in your heart. Confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Whatever it is you need to be saved from. That's healing. That's mental crazy or whatever. I'm telling you, the word of God is powerful. It is God. If we can believe that, We could change the world if the church would ever wake up and see how powerful and how they've been given keys to the kingdom. Are you getting a little glimpse of something here? It's the truth. We've been partakers of his divine nature. We can think like him, act like him, and talk like him. And your words become very, very, very serious then. Because God just don't walk around saying just any old thing. And he certainly don't curse himself. I ain't never going to have nothing. I ain't never had anything. Well, you think God would say that? It would corrupt heaven. I ain't no good. I ain't never going to be no good. I don't amount to nothing. I used to say all that stuff. No wonder my life was such a mess. I was like the man that went out and sowed. See, the thing about it, I could sow bad seed or I could sow good seed. But it's going to come up because the ground produces fruit of itself. The world is out there, the devil's out there in the world to make sure your words come forth. He'll make sure you have a harvest. I'll never Proverbs 21, 23. For whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Don't you have enough troubles?
Yeah.
If you learn how to control your mouth, it says you're like, in James it says you're like a person that knows how to put a bridle. We put bits in a horse's mouth so they will obey us. And they will go wherever we want them to go. You put a rudder on a ship so you can give it direction. I think I'll go over here. Or I think I'll go over there. Your mouth will determine the direction of your life. The longer you serve the Lord and the more real his word is to you, the more powerful your words become. Because you learn to speak out of your spirit. Because everything you say, you believe. You see how real it all is out of your human spirit. You get that word in you. How do you write the word in your heart? You can't write it. You write it. Write it on the table of your heart. You can't literally write it. You write it by speaking it and believing it and acting on it. That's how you write it in the table of your heart. I just seal this word today. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.